This is the Eye Opener Podcast for Monday, September 30th.
An increasing number of Indigenous communities in Canada are trying to find ways to revitalize their language before it's too late. And they say it's not easy. It takes a lot of time, commitment, and money. And so far, Ottawa has provided hundreds of millions of dollars to help strengthen, preserve, and revitalize languages, with more promised in the future. The CBC's Colleen Underwood has been speaking with Indigenous language experts and teachers about their community-based efforts and joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
So how many Indigenous languages exist in Canada, and how many of those are endangered?
Right. Well, according to Statistics Canada, there are more than 70 distinct Indigenous languages in the country, and more than 230,000 Indigenous people speak a language well enough to have a conversation. A number, though, that's declining, which experts say is likely a result of elders and other language holders passing on. And this is true for Métis, Inuit, and First Nations communities. Now, at the same time, the number of people learning an Indigenous language as a second language is increasing, and in some cases, it's quite dramatic, but it's just not enough to offset that loss of mother tongue speakers. So according to UNESCO, 75% of Canada's Indigenous languages are endangered, with some only spoken by a handful of people. Georgina Liberty is one of the directors for the Office of the Commissioner of Indigenous Languages.
I would say that they're all endangered. I mean, we hear a lot of Cree speakers and people recognize that. Oshii Cree, especially, again, is very, very popular. But they're nowhere near being safe. We wouldn't say that there's any Indigenous language that's safe.
Now, for those who may not know, Chris, the Office of the Commissioner for Indigenous Languages was created by the federal government in response to the calls to action. And its goal is to promote languages, support grassroots efforts, and keep the federal government's funding in check. And Georgina says that they are currently trying to build a database to determine the status of languages in Canada. Mm.
So what are some of the ways that communities are trying to revitalize their languages?
Right. It really depends on communities. So some are just starting out right from scratch. That means, you know, they're sitting down with their elders, they're recording words and phrases and stories, and then they have to translate them often now into digital platforms, but textbooks as well. Here's Cherith Mark. She's the language coordinator for Stoney Education Authority with the Stoney Nakoda First Nation here in southern Alberta. She says they've recorded up to 15,000 words so far, and she explains why it's so time consuming.
Each family clan within this community says a word differently, which I found really interesting as we've started this language project. So what we've been trying to do is incorporate all the different ways people say one word. And so we've gathered all of them and make sure that the way they say it are incorporated into our resources.
You know, on top of that, she says they often record both male and female elders saying the same word because they'll say it differently as well.
Are there other revitalization programs out there?
Right. Others are, you know, quite far down the path. Those like the Okanagan Indian Band in BC, they've created an Indigenous language curriculum in Silksian, which is their language, for their cultural immersion elementary school. Danielle Sadlin is their language and cultural lead. And she says at first the focus has been on children, but she says it's become clear that they need to reach others in order to truly reclaim and revitalize their language.
We can't put this responsibility just on our children. Like, we have to take a responsibility ourselves and learn language. One of our elders in our community said it's so important, like, that we speak our language even when our babies are first born, right? Because she said the first thing that happens is we give birth and we're not even always the first one to hold them. And all they hear is English, is where they should be hearing our language, right?
Right. So that's led to more programs in the community for adults and youth, because she says the more people that speak it, the more that can then teach it, because staffing is often an issue.
Right. So participation from the community would be key. But what else do teachers and experts say is needed for revitalization to be successful?
Well, they'd like to see more funding, and not just more funding, but more predictable funding year over year for their programs. So since 2019, when the Indigenous Languages Act was established, the federal government has provided more than $600 million for initiatives. And this year, it renewed its funding agreement, promising another $225 million over the next 5 years. And here's Georgina Liberty again.
Of course, there's never enough money. I mean, it's 150 years where languages have been deteriorating, and so it's not going to be a quick fix, right? It takes a lot of money to be able to put these programs in place, but it's a so long process to be able to get people to understand why this is important.
Now, just one recommendation I heard is for the federal government to fund language programs based on language groups, because right now they do it community by community, and that way they may be able to, you know, prevent some duplication.
Right. And why would you say it's so important, as Georgina mentioned, for communities to take this work on, especially hearing how long and how hard this journey will be?
Yeah, you know, everyone has a different response, but similar in the same way. They say that language is their connection to their land. It's their connection to their culture, their identity, because each word carries so much meaning based on their way of life. Lorna Wanasa Williams is an elder from the Lilwat First Nation in BC. She wears a lot of hats, including Professor Emerita at the University of Victoria. And she shares an experience of working with those who have what she calls a sleeping language, those who learned it and spoke it, but then had it taken away from them in residential school or the child welfare system.
I watched these people as they regained their language, and it was the most beautiful, beautiful, and, you know, affirming experience I could ever have, to watch these people regain just the sense that they could use their language, mm-hmm. and that it was okay and that they were okay.
Yeah, Lorna and others say, you know, learning one's language is a path to healing, and an often emotional one. So for those who are learning it for the first time as a second language, you know, they say that it helps change their way of thinking, right? It opens up a different worldview, one that's more connected to their home.
Yeah. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
CBC Calgary's Colleen Underwood.